Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Adam Carolla Show. So when you're choosing a mortgage lender, work with someone you can trust. Rocket Mortgage. They are transparent and they have an online process that gives you confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. Securely share your financial info for a mortgage and get approval in just minutes. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to be sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. So whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, skip the bank, skip the waiting. Do it completely online at quickenloans.com/Adam. That's quickenloans.com/Adam. Dawson.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Gin Blossoms, Jesse Valenzuela, with Gina Grad on news and Walt Bryan on sound effects. And now, he doesn't care about Neil Gorsuch's Supreme Court nomination hearing because, as he always says, you can't judge Adam Carolla.
It's impossible. Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks, you guys. We rely on you, and that's why we're going into year... past year eight. What the hell is going on, everybody? It's a podcast. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
If you can read this, the bitch fell off.
Oh, yeah, it's back of the t-shirt.
Shirt, yeah.
Geez, just saw Ricky Rackman at the other shop. Have not seen Ricky in a million
Old
years.
Old buddies reunited.
Was he being interviewed?
Yeah.
He was asking for change.
We were we're moving ahead.
Delivering bagels.
Stop it.
How dare you.
Sorry.
Not many people know he's Jewish. We are, we had a
Ricky
nice.
Rackstein.
We had a nice little confab, and he is, he's doing some stuff with NASCAR and stuff like that. He's living in North Carolina. It always bothers me when people are born and bred here, like he's a Valley guy and I'm a Valley guy, and I'm always scared to ask. But he's like, yeah, I'm in whatever, Charlotte or something. I'm like, how do you like it? And they always go, oh.
I can't believe I didn't do it 10 years before.
And then you go, why do you like it? You have to torture yourself. Yeah. You know, it's sort of like you're talking to your ex-girlfriend, and she's like, yeah, I'm with a new dude. His name is Dolph. And you're like, how wide is this guy's chode? And they're like super wide. And you have to keep going. Yeah. You have to keep going. Yeah.
I can show you with my fingers. They like stand wide.
But I only have one hand. I have to use two hands.
I'd have to cut the webbing of my thumb.
It's that wide. And we have to use a lot of lube. But you have to keep going. And I'm like, what's it like there? First answer. And this is how you know LA's a pile of crap or whatever town you're in. They don't talk about having a monorail system. They go, people say hi, which is free.
Yeah.
It's free.
Yep.
So LA is such a pile of crap that the free stuff is a bridge too far for us. Like, number one answer, when you talk to anybody who moves from LA to one of the Carolinas or almost anywhere, it's like, people wave.
People like, say, wow, when you pass on the street.
Yeah, we don't, our joints are too bad for that. We don't have that kind of strength in our shoulders. Yeah, it's like, the simple things, the little things, the free things. Like, you take your dog for a walk and neighbors say hi when you go by. Like, oh.
Did you ask the square
footage?
That must
be sweet. No, then this one. Because, no, the square footage is, that's just about what's in your bank account. Like, that.
But you get
so
much bang for your buck out of here.
It's insane. Yeah, if you spend, $1.2 million, you get a shack in the valley. There, you get a lake.
Mansion,
you get a lake with an amphitheater. But that, I have wrapped my mind around that. Like, I get it. Manhattan's this much, and San Francisco's that much, and, you know, outskirts of Illinois is this much, and then South Philly, my dad's walk up was this much. Like, I get that. But this is an attitudinal thing. And so then they do this one, and this is where the next one comes in. And so funny because it's not like anyone who's from LA never goes, huh, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I never experienced that. I say this. Next question is always this. So what else? What else? And they go, you know. And I go, how about the fact that when you're riding around with your kids and the girl has to hit the bathroom real hard, you can pull over to a gas station and they let you use the bathroom. And they go, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yes, you can use the bathroom at a filling station. Oh, my God. It's awesome. Which you would never get that answer if you're from a town in Oregon and then move to North Carolina. But if you live in L.A., it's like,
we've been conditioned.
Yes, I get to use the bathroom. And then Ricky was explaining to me, since he's doing this trek on a Harley where he's going through all the different states and stuff, he's like, it's a big problem when you get to L.A.
Yeah.
Because you're on a motorcycle and you got to take a leak and you can't just, you don't know anybody in an apartment. You can't pull over to a gas that's out of order. You don't get to use it, whatever it is. And I just thought, wow, so simple. Mm. And I thought, man, maybe something we could do with the freeway signs. It's just with the overall attitude of the city.
Pee anywhere. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm
I think
saying.
They're kind
exactly
of already doing that. Yeah.
What I'm saying is it's L.A. Like, I thought L.A. was cool and groovy and free love and kind of Jim Morrison down on Venice Beach, yeah. Rollerblades. Mm-hmm. Like, what happened to that? When did everybody get super angry and uptight?
The iconic image of Jim Morrison and his rollerblades.
On rollerblades.
In line skate.
On his Razor scooter. Yeah. No, I just
Riders
mean...
Rollers on the blades.
Rollers on the storm. So, whenever you see those images, it's like groovy and flowers in the hair and everyone's strumming a guitar. When did we get super uptight? Like, you know, it's sort of like, when did LA become, I would like to let you use the bathroom, but the last person I let use the bathroom sued me.
Yeah.
They were too litigious.
Fool me once.
It's literally like Mark Geragos tells me that there's lawyers that just send people in, handicapped people into his restaurant and basically say, hey, you had a grab bar on one side of the stall, but not on the other side of the stall. And they're in the middle of remodeling the stall.
ADA.
There's just lawyers who just dedicate their life to sending gimps into restaurants and trying to hammer checks. They're like, hey, give me $4,000. We'll pretend this whole thing didn't happen. Wow. When did L.A. become this?
Yeah. And the best part is that guy's parents at Christmas can say, oh, LeJohn, he's a lawyer. This image of Perry Mason in their head.
So
Ironsides.
Yeah.
We are
Atticus Finch.
We are going at it with this K-Rock doc. And
it's awesome.
We just got Ricky Rackman.
Is there a story that you said is going to be broken down in a little story? So I'm assuming there's an overarching theme, or is there? Is there something emerging?
Not yet.
There's a lot of many interesting little stories.
Oh, next week it's like Jed the Fish and Sluggo and all the old time guys from a million years ago. Elvira, Mistress of the Night.
Oh my God.
She was there at the beginning.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, it just keeps going and going and going. So we're starting that next week.
I know this didn't happen at K-Rock, so it probably didn't come up, but did the Punching Steckler story come up?
Oh, that's right. Ricky.
Oh, it didn't come up.
I wasn't there for the interview. Oh, okay. I was doing a pod with Geragos, but
stuff that legends are made of.
I forgot about that story. Doug Steckler, in terms of sort of vitriol in mouth versus bone density, it's the worst combination ever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you take a dude like Joe Klecko.
Okay, I've never met Doug, so
you haven't?
So treat me like I'm the rest of the audience.
Here's the thing: he can be the sweetest, kindest man on earth.
Mark Gastineau had a big mouth.
Uh-huh. But he was
a big dude.
A hell of a defensive end.
It was a lot of dude with a lot of mouth.
Yes.
Steckler's got that mouth just built like a place kicker.
Delicate. Gotcha.
And
he's a Grammatica.
He's
Gastineau's mouth and Grammatica's body.
A place kicker with AIDS.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's trying to kick AIDS. But he's sharp and he's funny. Mm-hmm. But that can rub people the wrong way. I don't remember the story.
So from what I
it was in the studio,
together.
Right?
Yeah, it was right outside. It was in between the kitchen and the studio. And from what I remember, Tim Conway Jr. saying,
"Old K Rock."
An
old KLSX.
Conway and Steckler were night partners.
Kitchen, put your fingers up. Yeah. Vending machine
and half a microwave.
Studio. Yeah.
Something happened. They got into it, and Steckler said something apparently really messed up to Ricky. And
well, this is where my theory comes in.
Yes. Rich Berner, if you remember him,
sure.
He like tried to stand and like use his body as a shield to not let them. One was in the studio and one was in the kitchen. And I feel like I think Ricky got through and punched Steckler in the face. That's the story I heard.
Steckler also like fell off a stage.
He did. He broke his leg because they were doing it. Were you there for that?
He would have been better off. Like, hey, Doug, I got a safer gig. Forget radio. Rodeo clown.
Yeah.
Save a lot in hospital bills.
And will I get punched a lot by people?
For the best reason. It was a think tank on stage with the whole, all the DJs.
I remember that this happened
and
once a year.
Somebody
yeah.
heckled Steckler and he got pissed at the heckler, jumped off the stage and broke his leg.
All right, everybody.
But a funny guy.
I think
the nicest guy in the world.
Did he write for SCTV and stuff like that?
Yeah, he's been around forever. He's a great guy.
All right. Clearly. I used to do their show all the time.
And they love you.
I marveled at how talented they were and how even when I'd come back 2 years later there would still be no carpet in a commercial building on Wilshire. Like, you know, second floor. Commercially, I don't think anyone's ever really seen that while business is up and running, seeing the glue marks for where the padding used to be.
This was, I'm assuming, mid-90s, late-90s, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe they were 25 years ahead of their time. And it was,
yeah, with
it
the
was,
polished it was, concrete.
Polished You're right. concrete.
It certainly doesn't seem very acoustically sound, though,
yeah, they're
radio
they're
station.
On the vanguard
industrial
of this,
feel.
This whole Silicon Valley loft. Industrial loft yeah. movement. Mm. All right, we're going to do Tales from the Cheap. I caught a little glimpse into my own psyche whilst, as I told you guys. So for me, we've been doing the K-Rock doc. I've been doing this Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff Live, and I've been going through boxes and organizing pictures and just a lot of organizing, going through old stuff, stumbling into stuff, looking for stuff. And I found some old pictures of my old house. And I showed you guys some of the old pictures. And part of the more obvious wiring, it's why I don't like clutter. I don't like mess. I don't like a confined, cluttered kind of mess. My thing is always, let's clean it up. Let's get it out of here. Because you have to keep in mind, and we'll put the pictures up at adamcarolla.com. When you see these pictures, hold this picture for a second, Gary, and I'll describe what we're seeing. But
I also have your new one.
Yeah, you have to. I will tell you this, from looking at 1,000 pictures of 1,000 vintage cars online, you go on any auction site or whatever and you go, oh, they're selling a Lamborghini or they're selling an old Ferrari. Mm-hmm. And you look at the pictures and it looks all right. It looks pretty clean. I guarantee when you eventually go to Pebble Beach or wherever and you go to the auction and you walk up to the same car, it's like, boy, the pictures make it, the pictures, they don't turn it into a fresh restoration, but that's, when you get up on it, it's bad.
They're
so I'm telling you,
version?
When you're looking at these pictures and you're seeing chipped paint, see where the floor, look down at the bottom, see where the floor it's where the fake
away.
Wood grain is worn away, see where the cabinets, the stuff, like, paint is how much again? And back then, you see all the mildew on all the caulking behind the sink. We're just looking at the sink.
One dirty strip of wallpaper right under the air conditioner or whatever.
Yeah, oh, that went all the way up the side of the house. Everything is like water damaged and chipped and bubbling and disgusting. That's how I lived. And that's why poor Lynette has to put up with me going, I don't want this stuff laying around the front door. Let's get it out of here, get it, whatever, because it was such a mess. But I've also figured out, and Gary, you can show the other picture that we're looking at, and I'll try to work with you guys on this. I am a stickler for flow. For flow. Everyone who knows me knows whatever island or whatever peninsula, it's always dog-eared on the edge to wall. This back wall, if you go walk down this hall and you get to the end, it's dog-eared. It doesn't just end sharp. This console has rounded edges and the way it's positioned. And everything I do is about flow. And I realize the house I grew up in, now, we won't show you the other picture, but I'll show you the picture. I'm like, if you stood in the living room and you looked into the kitchen, which is where we're looking right now. The sink is 4 feet to the right. We're looking through a door. First off, the door should have been popped off the pins and pulled off. It was never shut. It should never have even been there. Yeah. There's a door that goes into the kitchen. You can see the wider shot, Gary. Fine. There's a door that goes into the kitchen. if you look straight ahead through the door, you see the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. What you don't realize is to the left is how you got to my room, the bathroom, and my sister's room. But it was an 18-inch weird corridor, and you would catch your shoulder on the fridge because it was this weird sharp edge. Show the first picture. We'll go back to the first picture again, Gary, and you shall see that the fridge blocked my hallway. Sorry, the second picture. Blocked my hallway my entire life. If you look up and to the left of the fridge, there's just a little small little area you had to squeeze past to get to the rest of, I don't know why it's so dark there, Gary, but maybe that was the picture, to get to my room and my sister's room in the bathroom, you had to squeeze. That's the fridge you saw at the end of the, through the door. The worst layout ever, and the sharpest corner that you'd hit your shoulder against for years. For years and years.
You're saying the house with two front doors next to each other had a poor layout? Is that what you're getting at?
Yes, I am.
And imagine having to shimmy into your, in and out of your room every day.
When you're groggy, sideways. Just waking up.
Oh, Gary, give me that pile of, or somebody give me that pile of pictures from the desk. There's one that I'm missing in my mind. But all right. So because of hitting my shoulder for my entire adolescence, I have now become this crazy, fan of fluidity and flow and in dog-eared corners. And I never knew where I got it. Like, I hadn't seen these pictures in a million years. I never connected my make it smooth, shave it off. But this kitchen, it was this kitchen that made me into that.
14 years of misery.
Into that monster.
Bread, that monster that we see today.
Before you. Yes, indeed, indeed.
Now, where are these pictures? These are collected from a number of sources. These are from your parents. What is
I was just digging. I just went digging through a huge pile of everything. Oh, here's the picture. Go get that one, Gary. Sorry, I missed one. Yeah, I went through. Oh, look how cute I am.
Oh, look at you.
I went
sweaty.
Let me see that.
Football.
Oh, yeah, that's
I went. I just started digging through pictures and digging through pictures, and somehow came upon this mess. Oh, my favorite, the bathroom.
Wait, did your best work.
But it's also like, I don't know. I don't know how you, it's you know what? It's the ultimate sentence in life is being downtrodden. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, everyone does this. Oh, they're poor. They didn't have access to the education or access to jobs or access. That's fine. But if you're downtrodden, you've denied yourself access to everything all the time. And the kid who grows up on the wrong side of the tracks can get a mentor, work hard, get a scholarship, and flee this or shed his or her past and move on. But when you're downtrodden, you just live with it.
That's all I've said.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's so funny because you hear from people all the time. Dolly Parton says it. Everyone, you know, we were poor, but we didn't know it. Well, I feel like you kind of knew it.
We're poor and it was drilled into us every day.
It's weird, but it's like we were lazy and stupid, and I knew it. Like the poor, because, like, again, the kitchen cabinets. Okay, the paint is literally peeling and buckling and falling off. Is that about money? How much
elbow grease
is sandpaper? How much is a gallon of primer? You know, in terms of painting your kitchen cabinets, that is almost all initiative and almost no money. Mm. I mean, look, if you're a sharecropper and it's 200 years ago and you're destitute, that's something else. But if you're just
modern
living
times.
In modern times and you can go down to the hardware store and hold on, I'll show you this picture. Oh. You can go down to the hardware store and buy a gallon of primer and a gallon of Sears Easy Going, you know, semi-gloss, whatever. That is nothing. That is nothing. I defy you to find me a person who we're aware of, or even no peripherally, even, you know, hey, your gardener. He's not a rich guy. Could your gardener go down to Home Depot, get a gallon of primer, couple of sheets of 120 grit, and start working on the kitchen cabinet?
Yeah, he's there most of the day anyway in the parking lot.
Oh, Brian.
So, no, and it bothers me that everyone talks in terms of socioeconomic, like, hey, you know, Chris Carolla didn't have the time, you know, she wasn't blessed with
Miss
the,
yeah, yeah.
No, she had nothing but time, a house, a kitchen that was a mess and could have easily gone down to the corner. And it would have been the best thing for her to have me show up from school one day and me going, Ma, where are you? And her going, I'm pulling all the knobs off the cabinets. We're going to refinish these things. That would have been the best thing she ever could have done.
Her and or you on a trajectory.
That's right. This last picture at AdamCarolla.com, you will then see this refrigerator and how, or Gary, the one you just had up, will pertain to what we're talking about and just how little room we had to get through this hall. All right. So,
oh my God.
You had to walk from left to right. There's a stupid cabinet that is working as a divider between the kitchen and the hall, which is a horrible layout. Later on, I rebuilt the kitchen, blew the whole thing out. You'd walk from the living room, left to right, straight through, and turn left and have to pinch through a very tight little 14-inch corridor. My sister's room is the door you see right on the other side of the fridge, and my room is 6 feet down on the right. The worst layout in the world, right?
This is insane.
I'm looking at a Picasso painting.
Yeah, and I love that there's even less room because somebody decided that would be a great place to hang like a macrame art decoration.
Yeah, is that a standard-ish doorway? I mean, it's for people, I'm trying to get people to picture it. There's a standard-ish doorway that is blocked, I'll say three quarters, by a refrigerator.
This house has the weirdest angles.
That's very strange.
It's hard to look at. It had to be hard to live in.
Oh my God. You should have seen me just watching the Brady Bunch when I was 10 going, oh, what goes this on here? Space. Look at that staircase. Oh my God.
Modern house.
Come on, we're taking a family portrait. No.
What?
Oh no.
Why?
Just line up on the stairs. Plenty of room.
Why? All right. So sorry, but I just found those, and it reminded me of why I like flow so much.
Have the kids seen these pictures?
Oh,
they don't give up rats. I don't care. Ass about.
So they'd understand a dad better.
Well, Sonny's checking in.
It's just a waste of my time.
Correct.
These kids they're insane. I got a picture, so I'm going to go do this Trans Am race this weekend, and they tweeted me a picture. Somebody tweeted me a picture of the Corvette I was racing. Nice kind of clean shot. And it said, like, getting ready to get on the transporter, getting ready to head out to Willow Springs. And I showed it to Sonny. I said, look, we're going out to the track this week. I'm driving this Corvette. And he just looked at it and he went, epic fail. And he walked away. I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
Why did he say that?
Why did he say that?
Because he likes busting my chops.
Okay,
basically.
I thought there was something.
Epic
no, he just likes to bust my chops. I get it, but I'm just saying.
Call you a noob.
Well, you know, it's if my dad knew somebody who knew somebody who owned a Corvette, it would have been a big deal.
Yeah,
I mean, like I used to think about
a highlight,
like,
if you will.
Well, it's like. I was joking about this the other day, but I was thinking about, like, it's so insane. Look, it just goes to show that a kid, first off, don't ask them, you know, I knew Molly Ringwald when she was 16. Don't ask her to be normal. It can't be done. Yeah. She's getting calls from Warren Beatty, and she's shooting another John Hughes film. She's on the cover of Time magazine. Don't ask her to be normal. Don't ask Sonny to be normal. He's been to Pebble Beach too many times. Like, he's nice. It's just don't expect him to be
adjusted.
It's not. It's impossible.
Calibrated.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, if my dad and you know, I say, you know, I said to my kids, like, hey, come, you want to come to the show? You want to meet Adam Sandler? And they're like, meh, we're good. Mm-hmm. And they're Adam Sandler fans, but they're like, meh. I said, when I was a kid, if my dad knew somebody that had a reproduction of this Starsky and Hutch car. Not the original. Not the one used in the filming of Starsky and Hutch. But he just had a Gran Torino that he painted up like the Starsky and Hutch car. That would have been a big deal.
Yeah.
We can go to Ron's house and look at his fake Starsky and Hutch car.
That would have been worth telling stories on the playground.
Right.
Yeah. Dude, you never believe
Dragon
what I
rights.
Saw.
Yeah. Anyway, the Ghost Share vet that I showed. my name's on it. Yeah, I probably didn't point out, but he said he announced epic fail when he looked at the car, so. That'll be good. You know what I hope?
Epic fail.
That thing's probably got a nice side exhaust. I'm going to tell him just to stand right next to the passenger window and just give daddy a kiss when he fires this 800 horsepower beast up and scare the crap out of him.
I think that's going to work.
Seems reasonable.
Seems reasonable. Yeah. All right. Shall we do rear exhaust?
Epic fail, Adam.
Oh, man. Not coming out the side. All right. We will keep you posted on that. We'll play a little Tales from the Cheap. First, I'll tell you about Smart Mouth. Smart Mouth, the only activated mouthwash clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent bad breath from coming back for 12 full hours. Two separate liquids combine to activate zinc ions that stop bacteria from producing sulfur gas for 12 full hours. Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as the nasty breath, man. That is so true. Ever been with a good-looking person and they had bad breath and you thought to yourself, you're good-looking. Why do you have this breath? Bummer. It's weird. Yeah, I think it can happen to even eights, nines, and tens.
Yeah, yeah. I'll look into that.
Yeah,
well, look into it. Look that up.
Look it up. So, next time you're out drinking, smoking, use Smart Mouth before heading home with that special little honey bunny. Or vice versa, you met a dude, whatever. Whoever you're meeting, keep that breath fresh. SmartMouth.com. You find it at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you shop. Smart Mouth. All right, we're going to cue up a little Tales from the Cheap.
20-year-old Tupperware. Homemade clothes. Powdered eggs. It's time for Tales from the Cheap.
All right, see, Mom and Sarah's on. Okay, I like this one. Let's talk to Dave, 54, Seattle. Dave, what's going on, man?
Hey, Adam. You're awesome.
Love you, man.
You and, hey, you've kept me company on many long road trips. But I was calling today because I saw your tweet, and I had to call. My mom's 90. We just got done moving her out of her place into an assisted living place, so we're cleaning up her house. And in the cabinets, I find a stack of styrofoam cups that have been used and washed, and it just brought up this flood of memories from like 40 years ago of how cheap my mom was.
Yeah.
Rewashing the plastic, you know, the plastic spoons and forks.
Yeah.
And the styrofoam, I mean, they got teeth marks in them. And you can't wash styrofoam. It's got coffee. Oh,
yeah. I'm, you know, I got to say, my grandmother did this super, she's a queen bee of cheap. And she did something, and now I'm picturing it. It's funny. Every time there was an earthquake, all their vases and things and mugs and stuff would always fall down and break, and they would always just piece them back. They'd glue them back together, so it'd be like this glued vase or whatever. Oh. But mostly, they didn't get around to gluing them back together, which is smart, but they wouldn't throw them away. You just see the pile of the mug or
those
the vase.
Those all go together.
Those go together.
I don't separate that.
11 years later, there's still a pile sitting there.
Oh, my God.
It all paid off in the, wait a minute, everyone's dead and was miserable.
Their whole house was always just post-disaster.
Yeah, she had this glued back together, like sort of clay vase, like the kind of Mexican style you'd serve like sangria out of or something. And if a paper towel was used, like it's one thing if somebody spilled gravy and mopped up paper towels, but it's another thing if you just were using it to dry your hands or wipe the counter down. She'd kind of fluff them out, dry them out, and put them into this thing. And I have to say, I am guilty of that. Which is, for me, nothing to do with money. Mm-hmm. Zero to do with it. I don't even know what I spend on anything. Honestly. God's honest. It's always
My parents had plenty of money, Adam.
Oh.
Well, la-di-da.
Brag, Dave.
I just felt like, hey, if this paper towel, like now they're doing the thing where it's like quilted and three-ply and whatever. Yeah. If it's got water on it and it's good, I just flop it over the counter and use it next time the dog yaks.
I'm the exact same thing. With if the thing's not like soiled, if it's just wet or whatever, use it again.
Okay.
On the baby.
Here's the other thing I found in the kitchen cabinet, Adam. I found like some cans of spices that had like the date stamped on it. We're talking about like 1980. I think I graduated high school, but I mean,
I get it. There's also a thing like Drew always says his dad was a product of the Depression and blah, blah, blah. And my thing is like, get over it. But there's this other part.
Says the guy just brought in pictures of his childhood home and he's like, that's why I do everything.
No, I mean, you're right. But he couldn't spend money because he was that. And that was his excuse for being cheap. Right. I spend money on tons of stuff now because I come from this, not the other way around. But if you come from an era like, I remember my grandmother and grandfather, like to them, a big old jar of spaghetti sauce, when they were done with it, that jar was like glass thing with a metal top on it. Like,
dude, that's a vase.
If you go back to Budapest circa 1934, that thing would have cost a week's pay. And like,
a glass blower would have spent a day doing that.
You're right. So you couldn't just throw it out. Like, now you're supposed to.
No matter how rusty it got to put your goulash in.
Yeah, it was always the top that still smelled a little like pickles or mayonnaise or whatever the weirdness was. But yeah.
But maybe Dave's mom went green before it was cool.
Well, no, because
my mom,
Dave.
I don't know if you ever saw. Did you ever see the Albert Brooks movie Mother with Debbie Reynolds?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's my mom. When she pulls out the ice cream or ice milk or whatever that crappy stuff was in the fridge, and it was like so old. She said, "Oh, it has a layer of protective ice crystals on top." That's my mother.
Yeah. That was another. My grandma would do that. My grandfather would do it too, which is. In their mind, it's mathematically impossible for something to go bad and be in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do both.
Yeah, of course.
Cryogenically frozen.
Yeah, it's like Walt Disney's head.
Right.
It can never go bad. It's in the freezer. So it's like they'd pull out a coffee cake that was 11 years old that just had a thick layer of ice over
and
it.
And you'd be like, it's in the freezer.
Yeah. So
it was in the freezer.
How can it go bad? It's in the freezer. And it's like it's got freezer burn. It's all dried out. It's horrible. Now, it was still coffee cake, and I would still just cover it with water and put it in the oven and eat it with my hands.
You're not an animal.
Wait a second.
But, yes, old people don't think things can go bad that are frozen. All right, Dave. She'll be missed.
Adam, it's been a pleasure.
No, she's still alive. She's in the system.
Oh,
living.
Yeah.
She is a product of depression.
I'll miss her.
Well, I'm still cleaning up after her, too. It's an adventure.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Adam, I like it this way. Her cheapness, she was able to put a nice little nest egg away, and eventually she'll give it to me. So I don't come down on her too hard for the cheapness, but I don't buy ice milk, and I don't reuse my styrofoam cups.
Powdered milk.
Dave, is there anything, what's the most valuable thing you come across in cleaning out? Is there some hidden treasure or some artifact or, you know, I mean, some collectible something?
Some Senka.
You know, my mom, she collected, she's got a lot of old turn-of-the-century China kind of stuff. She was a retired surgical nurse, and so, you know, there's like a bone saw in the kitchen drawer. I remember her, she used to use a stainless steel hip replacement thing as a meat tenderizer.
Wait, why did you leave with this?
Yeah, should have left it. I told him.
Whatever.
There's a lot of hipster restaurants out here that would like to have that for decor.
Room. Yeah. Hey, Dave, you say you drive a lot, but do you drive a truck or you just drive for work?
I drive a little bit of both. I used to drive a truck.
Yeah, I'd love to have no money
and a hemorrhoid.
So when she leaves some money behind, that's money you're going to be able to use, right?
Oh, yeah. I'll probably buy some premium ice cream.
Yeah.
That's right.
Non-freezer burns.
Live a little. Yeah, there was two phases of poor. There were guys I knew, I don't know why, I'd be depressed this day. Remember when Tupperware made these sort of juice container things?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Weird snap lid.
Strong in the Bishop household.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had the ones where you depress the thumb thing and it's kind of sucked down. They're the pitcher, but the lid was the put the thumb in the middle and
we didn't.
The air
those
out
were a little rich for our blood. Because we had to buy used, and people really didn't part with those. But the ones I saw at my friend's house were sort of oval-shaped, went up, had the snap lid, and then had like a second snap flap lid that went over that you could junk. Now, it was good news if you opened your friend's fridge and saw something orange or purple in that thing. If you saw something that was white, that was bad times, because that meant it was milk.
Yeah.
Powdered milk, sometimes milk that had been stepped on with powdered milk. Mm-hmm. I remember I had friends that were like pure powdered milk people, and it's like, okay, this doesn't resemble milk when I taste it. It looks like milk, but it doesn't taste anything like milk. And then there was the other friends that were a little better to do, which is we take a half gallon of regular milk and then a half gallon of water and powdered milk, and we mix them together. It's like, how about you just get milk and just live a little?
What was the ostensible advantage of powdered milk? As someone who never had
cheaper?
Was it cheaper? Were there fortified vitamins?
No.
Vitamin K.
Nothing could be better for a 9-year-old than milk.
Yeah.
This was cheaper. And I'll tell you what the deal was. It was cheaper if your time meant nothing. Like, you buy a big box of this stuff, right? You know, get measuring cups out, mix it up, stir it up, and then it's just a watery mess. I mean, you could imagine what powdered milk tastes like. It's like powdered milk. Yeah. Okay.
And not as good version.
So, I'll tell you, I've never thought about it. I blame the space program.
Oh.
I blame Tang.
Mm-hmm.
That was ice cream. That was powdered orange juice. There was no... Orange juice was orange juice, and then Tang came out, and it was, ooh, this is powdered orange juice. It's what the astronauts drank. And then everyone, ooh, powdered. I wonder what else we could dry up and make people miserable with. How about milk?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Ooh. Yeah, so...
Get R&D on that.
Yeah, so it was a combination between cheapness and this weird powdered space program thing. And
I think it was space age.
Yeah.
Well, you do
space technology.
Every single commercial... For breakfast cereal, had a glass of milk and a glass of orange juice next to it.
It's part of your complete breakfast.
Right. So if you have done the orange juice now with the Tang, what's next? And thus the thus comes the milk. All right. Yes.
We never bought – this might be a cheap from my mom, even though she really spared no expense with us. But we never got like the pre-made juice, like orange juice. We always got the frozen cans, and we had the juice thing with the plunger.
Yeah.
And you had to work it. It really – it was very, very difficult for a child.
Yeah. The
butter churn.
Yeah. You get the concentrate, that tube of concentrate. Yep. And when you, when you'd go rogue, like the, this is equivalent to like as a kid – the house had nothing in it, as but what, you know, lead filled paint and a lot of tears. But there's nothing sweet, there's nothing good, but as a kid you'd try to go on that. When I would get hold of the orange juice concentrate frozen thing and just plunge the spoon right into the end and just mainline it, that was equivalent to the alcoholic just drinking like Sterno or lighter fluid or nail polish remover, like just straight from the bottle.
Just to get that buzz.
Just trying to catch something. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let's talk to, I'll hop to the top.
Now, line one's gross, but potentially good.
Andrew, 32, Nebraska.
Hey, guys. Yeah, when I used to work for my dad in the summers when I was in college and high school, and he was a crop duster, and so when he started out, you know, he started his own business, so he bought a camper, and he just lived right on the airport, and
we saw Independence Day. We know how this goes.
Yep.
Yeah. But no, he didn't have a microwave, and our diet was pretty much canned food, and he said it was hot enough outside that we'd just open it up and eat it out of the can. And then we'd use
God's microwave
for our water cups. Yeah. And so that was a steady diet of SpaghettiOs and beefaroni for a while. But then, you know, you eat the SpaghettiOs and you got to relieve yourself. Well, he didn't want to, pay for a truck to come out and drain the tank each week. So we'd just get 5-gallon buckets, go around back of the camper, open up the valve, and out would come the bile, and we'd go dump it in the tree line in the woods each time. So that's how we got rid of our waste.
And that's where Stinky Forest came from.
Yeah. I knew, yeah. Stay away from that ham, by the way. Some of the worst ham ever comes out of that forest.
Stinky Forest ham.
Go back to the Black Forest for that. Yeah. I had a, that one of my realizations when I was cleaning carpets back in the day when we would clean these greasy spoons and these we'd clean these barbecue joints and stuff like that in the middle of the night. And the water that we would, there was the solution tank and the collection tank. So it was a sort of, oblong shaped, big square, looked like a giant toaster on wheels. And the front part was the clean stuff with the polycon or OxyClean or whatever they sell, the powder, the solution in there. And then the back part was the collection tank. That's the stuff we're sucking up, all the greasy black whatever. And then at the back of it was a spigot with the knob on it. And it was just, you pull the handle and it all dump out into the 5-gallon bucket. You had to empty it.
I just did this for my home carpet, for the rug we have in our front room, and it was gross. I can only imagine what like a restaurant, let alone a barbecue restaurant, would be like.
You go to like Tony Roma's.
Oh,
and I'll tell you where the toughest part was. The dining room is carpeted.
Mm-hmm.
The kitchen has that tile. Where the carpet hit the tile.
That spot where it's...
Right where it hit the tile, and Oh, you can get in there. I mean, it's big and wide. Oh, okay. It's just the darkest, greasiest, messiest.
Okay. The most concentrated. All the servers and all
everyone
the
would be walking out of the kitchen holding trays and right onto that piece of carpet. Now, by the time they turned right and went down the way and got to the table, their feet were kind of clean. It was that one patch. Well, there was a mess. The whole place was a mess, but that one patch. You'd hit that one patch and it'd just go from black to red. But when you'd empty the tank, it'd always be slopping all over the side of your... you'd be wearing jeans, and you'd hold the five-gallon bucket, and you'd always fill it up too high. It'd be a quarter inch from the inch from the top, and you'd be dragging it to the toilet. You had to dump it. And when you dumped it in the toilet, it was a mess, too. But it'd be slopping all over the side of your jeans while you're dragging it, and it'd be warm because the water's hot. But the realization was, this was the part of the job you looked forward to because it was sort of a break. Like, the carpet cleaning was really hard, back-breaking, sweaty work, and then you'd stop, you'd shut the machine so the noise would go away, and you'd get to do this, and you'd actually catch your breath. And I had thought, if this is the fun part of the job, this is a bad job.
The parts to look forward to.
How many of those do you do that in a shift? Many times do you do that in a shift?
If you were to clean, like, a Tony Roma's or a Colony Kitchen
Hamburger or Hamlet.
Hamburger Hamlet. You know, picture yourself inside a decent-sized Hamburger Hamlet, you know, and we might be there for four, five, 6 hours. There might be one or two dudes, and you'd do that every half hour, 20 minutes or something like that. You'd have to go fill it up, so you'd go to the sink in the kitchen with the big deep sink, the hot water, fill it up with the hot water, dump the hot water in there. That's why it'd be hot when it came out the back, and
every
dump in the powder and then mix it up and then just go back. And it's awesome. The other part that sucked, too, is we were poor. We were always hungry. And this hot water would activate the barbecue sauce in the carpet, and you'd get a little whiff, like a nice smoky whiff
of 6 month old barbecue.
Well, we were the hungriest, poorest people in the world. We were trapped inside a barbecue joint that we would have gone nuts to eat at, but everything was like locked up except for that time over at the Hamburger Hamlet when Ray fired up the grill. Ray got that grill going bad. Can I tell you guys something? You should pay next time you go to the Hamburger Hamlet or whatever one of those kind of dinery sort of, not diner, but those kinds of restaurants are. You can tell the restaurant where they have the cake and the dessert and the tapioca pudding behind the sliding, the sliding door, you know, behind the glass, or better yet, the one that's on the dessert go round in the middle, the cooler in the middle. You think it's satisfying to, like, point at a pudding and tell the lady you want that pudding or the German chocolate cake? There is nothing better. Next time I go to a restaurant, it'll be like my Elvis move. I mean, buy, like, a movie theater and just him and the Memphis Mafia would watch a movie. Go to your server and just go, I'm going to give you an extra $10. Let me pull the cake out myself.
It's a power move.
When we would clean one of those places, me and Ray, you'd walk over to that case and you'd slide it open. It'd be huge German chocolate cakes and pudding. You just go, and then you just reach in and pull it. And then the best move ever, go to the milk dispenser, the thing with the big counterweight ball on it, lift it up and just top off that big tumbler milk, plop it back down, sit down. Somehow getting it made it better.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why. But, yeah.
Delicious.
All right, where were we? Yeah, I don't know why that reminded me of that. Did this guy hang up? Andrew?
He's gone.
All right, good. Screw him. We got to get to our guests. Let's get going here. Adam Boston, 35. Two more.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Not much.
All right.
Big fan. First time caller.
Thanks.
Just wanted to let you know, I was down at the grocery store the other day, and I was in the egg area, and sitting next to me was this lady, and I just couldn't quite figure out what she was doing. She was kind of well-dressed, and and I thought she was checking the eggs to make sure they weren't cracked. Well, meanwhile, what she was doing was she had a large carton of eggs, an extra-large carton of eggs, and she was swapping the two.
Wow.
Wow.
Brazen.
That's awesome.
Literally just paying large prices for extra-large eggs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Power move, too.
That is. And also, then the next person is going to get the regular eggs yeah. in the extra large.
Overpay by
whatever.
20 cents.
Although somebody told us that when it says large and extra large, that's actually referring to the yolk size. So maybe you can get away with it.
Mm-mm.
I've never noticed the actual size of the egg really being different.
I don't want to be a one-upper, but I've just done a little experiment on this topic. I ordered a little electronic egg poacher. It's kind of weird. Matt and I had to thrash around Amazon for a while, and they're all cheap, and they mostly suck. But I got tired. I wanted some eggs in the for the morning, but I got tired of sort of standing over them or presiding over the pot of water, whatever it was. This is a little dome. It plugs in. It has one button on it, and you have a little water goblet, and you dump it in this little pan, and it's like, do you want it soft, medium, or hard, depending on how much water you put in. And then they have a little pie tin for eggs, a little carved out for eggs. And you set it in there, and you put the top on, you press the button, and you walk away. And then 7 minutes later, you come back, you have a couple of poached eggs, however you want it. The little timer goes off. It's kind of works.
Very efficient.
I have noticed that with the extra large eggs, they spill out of their little indentation. Oh. These things are good enough for the large, but the extra large is almost a little much.
Ryan? I will say that as a literally daily egg eater for breakfast and religiously committed to the jumbo eggs, they are significantly bigger. Like if you know eggs, you can tell if it's just from looking.
Are you saying that a random morning show caller would have bad information?
Well, it's one of those things where when people give you specific information,
and how would they know?
And you're not coached up,
who
it makes
knows?
Perfect sense. Yeah. I go,
no, what I mean, how would the egg person know? The yolk is there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right,
Gina,
that's good.
You're by proxy, you're out of order.
You may want to use your yeah, but still,
yeah,
Gina.
But still, Brian.
Adam from Boston. I like this. it makes you realize that this cheapness is
that's
sort
low
of
low level criminal, though, right? She's essentially stealing larger eggs.
Yeah, mid to low.
Very low.
No, this is
not a felony, but
this is a. Here's the deal. It is a form of disease in the sense that the time that it takes this woman to do this transfer, mixed with whatever possible downside there may be, which is store manager walking up to you and embarrassing the bejesus out of you, or whatever other negative possibilities. Super Johnny on the spot, Cracker Jack checker going, wait, this feels a little hefty. This weighs a little bit. I do this all day, and this weighs several ounces more than the normally marked large. This feels extra large to this man.
And it only happens when you come in.
Yeah, yeah. You take a little bit of risk, and then whatever the transfer time is versus the 87 cents you're going to save, or $1.11, or less, 51 cents. That then, and considering you pulled up in a loaded Lexus SUV and you live in Encino, that makes it a disease.
Yeah.
Mm. Not logical.
Yep.
Look, cheating on your taxes is logical. Yeah. You know, that's cheap and logical.
You're
trying to save several thousand dollars by claiming more deductibles, or this was a work trip, or whatever it is. This is not
that,
and I guarantee that person is not destitute. It's not even a destitute. It's funny. You think that's what poor people do. I don't think that's even a poor person move.
Yep.
The ultimate poor person is...
powdered eggs.
Powdered eggs.
Right?
No. I don't want to be a one-upper, but when I was working with the born-again Christians, installing the closets over there at ABC Closets, and Philip, one of the ex-gangbangers, was giving me some of his whatever con carne slop that I thought, all right, this looks good. And as you guys know, the story, I said, what the hell kind of beef is this? Mm-hmm. What's going on? Cactus. It's cactus. And I was like, so white and naive. I was like, cactus?
And how did you procure it?
Where do you get... Who sells cactus?
You can eat cactus.
Funny you should ask.
I knew you could... I was eating it, so I'd done the eating math. I wasn't happy about it, but I was eating it. But I was like, thinking like a regular dude, I was like, where did your wife buy cactus? And he just pointed at the foothills of Burbank behind the Burbank Airport. If you look at it, it's littered with cactus. Like, right up there, baby.
Yep. Cactus farm.
They still have that show, Wife Swamp. Lynette, get your machete. Why? Well, it's almost getting close to dinner. Got to get to them hills. The cactus ain't coming to us. Oh, yeah. All right. Real quick, let's just talk to Karen, 59. San Inez.
Yes.
Yeah, Dawson's happen. Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it's tales from the cheap, not tales from the thief, which I think the egg story is.
Yeah, you're right.
But, keeping it real.
But I've been listening, and I have yet to hear anything that didn't happen in my family.
Mm. Dawson,
we did all that crap.
Hold on. Dawson, you know, says he knows you.
Yeah, I know Karen. Hi,
yeah,
Karen.
He does. And he can vouch for what a cheapskate I am in certain situations.
Yeah.
But I learned it. You know, we had peaches that came over from Kansas during the Dust Bowl in the 1930s and didn't get rid of them until, you know, became the year 2000. New century, new peaches, made sense.
Wait, how do you know... How do you know Dawson?
Hey, everybody in Santa Barbara County knows Dawson.
Yeah.
He was the DJ in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I won a contest to go out on a yacht with six friends, and I didn't have six friends, but I rented some friends.
You had six peaches.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was cool, and we've done things musically together. I've been to some stuff that he's done. He's done... to help me with some stuff. And
Wait, you invited Dawson on this boat?
Him,
on this boat trip, Dawson came with you?
No, he wasn't my friend then. It was a Tuesday deep cut, and he selected my Warren Zevon deep cut. I think it was maybe accidentally like a martyr. It was not Werewolves of London, I assure you.
The level of details.
This
get
is
lawyers,
awesome.
Lawyers, beautiful. Guns, and money.
It could have been that, but that was kind of a hit. So when he says deep cut, I go deep.
Yeah.
I'm kind of an extremist from, anybody that has peaches from 1935, and they are brown, they're no longer recognizable.
Surprised you couldn't cobble together five other like-minded folks to hit that yacht with you. Hey, Karen.
I took some football players. They were happy. Football players always like to eat.
Oh, yeah. Smart. And offer certain degree of protection against the captain or first mate. You guys...
Right, I don't even remember those guys, but the football players were young and cute.
So everyone knows Dawson over there.
Yeah.
And you knew him from the radio initially?
Yes, he was a very popular disc jockey in Santa Barbara on K-Tide. And so I listened to him as a DJ, and then we ran into each other at club stuff. He played some music, he worked with different musicians, and Santa Barbara is a kind of a small town.
No
kidding. Well, hold on. What deep cut from Warren Zevon did you play? And if you could cue it up, I mean, Dawson, if you could talk it up,
let's take a look.
Let's say we're coming out of break over there, at K-Tide. What year would this be, Karen?
I would say it would be around 98, maybe.
98. Maybe we'd be coming out of a Gin Blossom song.
Oh. Very possible.
Mm-hmm. And then we'd coming out, then you'd, what do they call it, Dawson? Would it be a back sell, back talk?
Back sell the first one, front sell the second one. But you try not to back sell and front sell in the same break.
But we're going to be the exception to the rule here.
You're triple A.
I'm such an amateur. This is such a technical talk.
So it's the hits from 70s, 80s, and today?
Dawson's looking for... Well, hold on, Brian. He's looking for... I'll step in.
He wants to back.
I'll step in. Yeah, Gin Blossoms, everybody. Dawson's on the crapper. I'm bored up, Tim. 8:22, 22 after the hour. It's 38 away from the top of the hour. Top of the hour, we got traffic, weather, traffic, and weather. PCH all backed up. Looks like we got a mattress in lanes. Oh, and the surf report. Doug's got the surf report. He's coming in. Doug, how we doing over there, surf report? Dawson slid a note under the stall door. Let's not forget, we got the Avocado Fest going on. Any ladies over there over the age of 18 and under the age of 81 are eligible for Miss Guac. Okay? We prefer blondes, but hey, we'll take them any way we can get them. Hawaiian Gardens, checking in, 72. Redlands, 72. Duarte, 72. Commerce, 72. Irvine, 72. Santa Rosa, checking in, 72 degrees. Thousand Oaks, 72. Canoga Park, 72. Dime Bar, 72 degrees. Flint Ridge, locking down Flint Ridge, 72. Pasadena City, Compton, 72. Glendale, 72 degrees. We got traffic, news, surf traffic, and weather coming up. All after this, we got Gin Blossom. We got Gin Blossom Superset coming in. Jesse Valenzuela's coming in to Gin Blossom. He's going to come in. Oh, wait a minute. We got an eye in the sky over there.
Hey,
we got,
there's only one road through town. It's the 101, and of course, it is jam-packed. Back to you.
Yeah, Match and Lane. That's brought to you by Stater Brothers. Stater Brothers Jet Copter 5. Thanks, Stater Brothers. Always want a fair price and a friendly face to Stater Brothers. Stater Brothers, it's your... Wait, I'm sorry, I read the copy. It's your supermarket. They put the S in Uber in supermarket. All right, Dawson's back on the can. Dawson, how we doing there, buddy?
Deep cuts at noon every weekday here at 99.9 KTYD, which was the station. Karen Jones, our big winner today for picking this one. Deep from Warren Zevon, it's Roland, the Headless Thompson Gunner.
Was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun.
You know this one?
With a I
Thompson
do.
Gun for yeah. hire.
This is slightly deeper than Lawyers.
Lawyers Guns and Money wouldn't have been a deep cut, though. That was a hit.
I would argue that almost anything from Warren Zevon was a deep cut, other than Werewolves of London. But, yeah, that second, and this may have been third. I don't know.
I don't know the song.
It's a good one. Not his best.
Now, take that, Karen.
Karen's the sound familiar?
Karen picked this one.
This Karen? Kind of has an Edmund Fitzgerald vibe.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Hey, Karen?
Yeah.
Do you think this was Warren's deep cut?
I probably would have went deeper because I'm kind of an extremist. I'm hardcore. That's why I didn't have friends to take with me.
Yeah. Hey, college age football players.
He
you guys into
me.
Warren Zevon at all?
Are we?
Who's
we
in
barely got to play in the huddle. Like we're talking about Warren Zevon
Who's
songs.
Into nautical themes and Warren Zevon?
No, Adam,
and
let me...
Warren Zevon died to win a Grammy. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I know he had lung cancer, but how did he die
he
to win a Grammy?
He had mesothelioma.
Well, he won a Grammy for the
it.
Album The Wind, which was his posthumous release that he worked on
yeah.
as he was dying.
Oh, okay.
A greatest rock and roll performance, Bruce Springsteen on The Wind, on one of the songs on The Wind. But he had to die to do it, and that is dying for your art.
Watch
so
out, Dawson.
Kids breathing
down your neck. Kids breathing down your neck.
God, I love you.
Hey, Karen,
okay, thanks. Hey, I loved winning the Paul Newman movie. That's
I
excellent.
Knew you're a woman
it
of discerning taste. Thank you.
I am. I have great taste.
Next time, don't wait 18 minutes to say that. I almost hung up 14 times on you.
Can I tell you one little great story about her?
Yes.
Really, really quick. No, there's this festival in San Ynez called Old San Ynez Day, and it's all the vaqueros and the cowboys, and they celebrate all the ranchers and all that. Well, mm-hmm. Karen lives in a house that was built in 1900s, early 1900s, right on one of the main streets in San Ynez. She wanted to be a part of this parade. She wanted to do something and be a part of the party. The old boys club who ran the thing said, no, we don't want you. Go away. She basically said, screw you. She built a stage in her front yard and put on bands in the front yard so that the parade was established. And that party's been going on for 20 years.
Dawson,
really?
I love that.
You told me that story a long time ago. That's Karen?
That's Karen Jones.
That's awesome.
And that's how Tailhook started, ladies and gentlemen. Nice job. Hey, Karen.
Hey, thank you for letting me be a guest, and I really appreciate everything you
hey,
do.
Hey, when is the Jesse Valenzuela from Gin Blossoms coming in here? When's the next front yard beer bash going on Old San Ynez Days?
June 10th. This wow. year it's Kinky Friedman. But we always have a bunch of really good sidemen, not local talent, but L.A. side players and up-and-coming bands.
I'm smelling
Many
a live show.
Many mm-hmm. people are buying houses that started as just, you know, playing on my front lawn in the early days. They're buying houses off the money they're making off music. So
nice.
We've grown. The artists have grown.
Yep.
And Kinky is just, you know. He just adds a little cowboy flavor to the old San Ynez Day vibe
he
going
like
on.
Ran for governor or something every year or something.
Texas,
didn't he?
Texas.
Yeah. All right,
Karen's
sorry,
a
Karen. Yeah. All right, Karen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm a long goodbyer. This is my final goodbye.
I'm going to help.
You don't say.
I can expedite that. If you have a problem with goodbyes,
yeah.
I got an itchy left index finger. Boy, everyone's got a story, don't they?
And how? Karen's got stories for most people.
Her life is a deep cut. Yeah. All right. First, before we bring Jesse in.
Next time Gina has to miss a show, unfortunately.
Karen, please. My God.
Yeah, next time somebody cuts her brake lines, then Karen can come in full time. Scott E. Vest. Oh, you saw these guys on Shark Tank. What do you think I'm wearing right now, everybody?
I know your wardrobe got quite the boost.
I got the Scotty stuff. I got the pants. I got the shorts. I got the vest.
I remember him.
Tons of pockets.
Yep.
Tons of pockets for the phone, for the wallet, for matches, the chapstick, the keys, whatever it is. Yes.
More chances to stumble across $5-$10 down the road.
Oh, yes.
Right?
That's what I do.
Pockets all over.
Mm-hmm. You want to pay an extra $5, they'll put a five spot and they'll hide it somewhere in there for you. I would do that. I would offer that. Hoodies, jackets, pants, vests, tons of secret little hidden pockets. You find your place and your phone's not always falling out, and it's good. But the stuff is good, and it's comfortable, and you just wear it anyway, which is what I just do anyway. You just happen to have. Remember all those years I was complaining about, sweatpants, I got to have a back pocket. Why don't they have a back pocket that zips? The zips close. You can put your wallet in, it falls out of your pockets. It falls between the transmission and the car seat. You can't fish it out. No more. Scott E. Vest. So, you can stop lugging around. Seriously, flirted with the idea of a fanny pack.
Oh,
because I had too much junk, sunglasses. Oh, here's the next one. Once I started wearing the reading glasses, that's one more place. All right. Flirted with the fanny pack right when I was like on my last hour sweating, staring at them on Amazon, telling Fondelier to squeeze the trigger. The guy from Scotty Vest called.
Reprieve.
Reprieve. It's like the governor calling.
Trying to stay.
Check out the jackets, the pants, the hoodies, men and women. So it's clothing that'll change your life. For a limited time, enter promo code Adam for an extra 20% off. If you don't believe, look, when you look at today's picture, I'm wearing a black hoodie and it's a Scotty. Scott E. Vest. V-E-A. Well, you know how to spell vest. .com. ScottEVest.com. Good stuff. All right, let's take a little break. We'll bring in Jesse from the Gin Blossoms right after this.
Here's an interesting fact for you. There are nearly 1 million new books published in the U.S. alone every year. So if you like to read, how do you choose what you're going to read? Well, that's where Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews comes in. You see, Kirkus has been one of the top book review publications for over 80 years. They do a deep dive on thousands of titles every year, including interviewing best-selling authors and telling you what might be the hot new release before everyone else knows. And it's coming to Podcast One in just a few weeks. So keep your eyes and ears open for Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews.
Yeah, I remember where I was when I heard this song for the first time. Jesse Valenzuela is here from the Gin Blossoms. New Miserable Experience 25th Anniversary Vinyl. I was just looking at it. Oh, I'm looking at it right now.
There it is.
Very cool stuff. I'm glad people are getting back. I was driving on the 134, getting onto the 2, heading out to La Crescenta, where I was living with Cortland Cox and Ralph Garman from K-Rock.
Wow.
Days when this popped on to K-Rock and I was listening to it in my pickup truck. Or maybe Zuzu Trooper back then. So that was 25, so that would have been 92. Is that, did I get that right?
That would be 92, yeah.
That's exactly where I was. Yeah. Where were you? Now, you were about the same age, so
yeah.
You were just doing something better than me.
I was probably in a van.
Yeah.
And driving across the country playing shows.
How long had Gin Blossoms been around before they broke?
We played our first show Christmas Eve, 1987.
So
we've been around a long time.
Broke big about 5 years.
Yeah, we took about 5 years. And the record was, actually, your old station was really pushed the song. I think that's what happened. That's how it took off.
Well, that's, you know, as someone who's went to platinum 4 times, by the way, I'm just in the middle of working on this K-Rock documentary, and, you know, the theme, especially through the 90s, it was if K-Rock would play your music,
sure.
you were made.
It's
that
true.
Was it.
It's true, because it took a year. We were playing shows in the van across the country, and K-Rock they played it for a couple weeks at the beginning, and then it just went away. And then about a year later, they started playing it again. And once they did, XRT in Chicago started, and New York started playing it. But it really started in Los Angeles.
Yeah, they had to – Kevin Weatherly had to play it here, or Rodney Bingenheimer, or whomever, and then it would just spread out. And I think everybody was just looking to K-Rock to see what their next move was, to figure out what they should put in their lineup. And it was perfect if they played you. If they didn't, you're screwed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the best time to be a programmer for one of those stations anywhere else in the country, because you just did whatever they did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's picked up. And like, oh, they're out of this song, out of this band, start playing them.
I used to sit in Kevin Weatherly's office all the time, always thinking to myself, how ironic that I'm the only person that doesn't want to be in front of Kevin Weatherly. Everyone else is dying to get him. So they're like, play my tape. I got a band. Listen to me. You know, it's always record execs and all in guys. It was like, oh, if I could just get Weatherly for 5 minutes. Like, oh, so brutal. I have to sit in there when he's telling me to roll calls. But he would tell me, we'd be sitting in his office, and he'd be explaining that, like, he'd be lamenting. He's like, yeah, I get a Porsche every year for being program director of the year, and this year I got to drive it. And I can't sell it. Every other year I just get it and sell it, get the cash. This year they're making me drive it.
Oh.
It's like, wow, this is a good first world problem.
Sucks.
Yeah. And by the way, can I have that surfboard that says Green Day that's been sitting on the ground the whole time? Yeah. You're not going to hang that. Yeah.
He always had an office full of great merch, like crazy stuff.
He had an office filled with the coolest thing that would have been in our parents' house, like a platinum record from, you know, the Spin Doctors or so. Well, they're a band that existed.
Actually, that's probably what he had.
It's probably had. Like, but he'd have...
No Doubt.
Yeah, yeah. All of Nirvana. Yeah. And they'd all just be on the floor stacked up against each other. So it'd be like 18 platinum records on the floor stacked against each other.
Yeah, I'm sure there's one of ours later.
Yeah, yeah. I could have got. I should have snuck one out for you.
He had amazing bespoke stuff, like stuff was made just for him. Like, thank you for helping, you know, break us or make us big or whatever. And it'd be on the floor in a pile.
It'd just be like
not because he didn't like it, because he had so much. It was just so much of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a snowboard from Blink 182.
Yeah.
And it was have his name engraved.
Dear Kevin, thank you so much for the support.
Oh, so you're out. Where's the band from?
Phoenix.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's weird. Never think of a band from Phoenix.
Yeah, there's not too many. Yeah, we're all from Phoenix, right by Arizona State University, Tempe, Arizona.
And you guys are out just doing the bar thing, touring in the van, during that life. You cut the record. What's the expectations for the record, if any, time?
Well, we cut a half of a record here in Los Angeles first, and it wasn't very good. And it was Christmas time, and the label sent us home. And we thought, well, that's the end of it. They're sure they're going to just drop us by the top of the year. And they called us in January and said, you guys got to redo this because it's just not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And so... we went back. They had us wait another 6 months, write some more songs, and then we finally made that other record.
What do you think was not good about it, and then why are the same people able to make a really good record versus a not a good record? What changed? I mean, I know you wrote some more songs. Is there a producer involved that you like?
Well, there was a producer, and he was a really good producer, but I don't think he necessarily liked us that much, and I think he was trying to make us sound a little different than we were, and... it didn't work.
That's an interesting point, because I, you know, music and comedy sort of the same thing. You get a producer, but they're not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
They do lots of good work and have worked with other comedians and people like that, but you get pretty clear pretty early that they're not really into what you do, and then you're going to have trouble because...
It's a great show.
Yeah. That was my producer. Yeah, they're not going to bring out whatever the best... They'd like you to do something different, not
absolutely.
What you do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we were just... we couldn't figure out how to make him happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kept trying and trying, and the label said, this doesn't sound like you guys at all. I think, and we were really worried and concerned, and they told us later, no, it's not about you. It's just the wrong choice.
Did he work with other artists that you know of?
Oh, yeah. No, he's a brilliant guy. Remember that Jellyfish record?
Yeah.
Yeah, he produced that.
That's it?
He worked with the Bee Gees.
Oh, there's someone
I've ever heard of. Him.
Yeah, yeah, he made a lot of really big records,
and it just wasn't your style.
He was more efficient, and I think he expected us to play like we had been in the studio for a long time, and we had just been playing in bars for 4 years.
Is there such a thing as getting a guy that's too big, and then he's just like, hey, listen to me, like you do it my way?
Well, that's what it was.
That's what it felt like.
And so, you know, we were cantankerous and young. After a couple of weeks of trying, then it just turned into just madness or not even showing up at all.
So it was like, I've never heard of you guys, but you're lucky to be working with me because I work with the Bee Gees do it my way.
No, he wasn't that pointed.
Well, he didn't say it, but that's what it felt like, yeah. Right?
Well, to us, it certainly did.
Right. So bad go round. And then you get a new guy when you come back 6 months later?
Yeah. So they sent us to Memphis to work with John Hampton, who had just done The Replacements records.
Mm-hmm.
So he really kind of got it. It was a little sloppy, a little drunky, and he was fine with us bringing, you know, cases of beer into the studio and smoking cigarettes and having fun.
It's got to suck for the first guy, even though I'm sure he landed on his feet, because
he's done fine. I'm not worried about
it. But when the Gin Blossoms go 4 platinum, people got to go, hey, your band, man. This guy's your producer.
Yeah, you're going to produce the debut album.
This young douchebag. You said you were working on it.
Congratulations.
It worked out. All right. No, that was later.
Yeah, that was later.
A little later.
Yeah.
It's the worst part. A little later. Yeah, we didn't get anything out of him. And then you got to go find a mirror, right? Because you got to kind of go, same dudes, a few months later, I just couldn't get anything out
of
them.
Or are you the type of producer who's like, could have gone 10 times platinum if it isn't me?
That's true.
He's probably that dude.
Okay. Really big.
You can go, by the way, if you want to check the website, ginblossoms.net, and you can find out tour dates, merch, whatever you like, and you can get the reissue if you want, and you can go, it's available at amazon.com. Congratulations, I'm sorry, on vinyl as well, and New Miserable Experience 25th anniversary, so it's all up there. I like that vinyl is having a renaissance. Am I making that up, or is vinyl having a renaissance?
Outselling CDs.
Yeah. Outselling.
Hmm? I believe that was the stat I heard.
That now makes sense. And
it makes sense because no one buys CDs anymore.
I think the story you saw was vinyl is outselling digital.
Oh, no.
That would be shocking.
That would be shocking.
We should put the podcast out on vinyl.
CD.
Shellack it every day. in some music markets.
So the audiophile guys are like, oh no, it sounds better on vinyl. But it's
that's different for sure.
Does that make sense, Dawson?
Yeah, there are certain albums. I'm sure Jesse would agree that there are certain albums that just sound better on vinyl because of the crackle, because of the fullness of it.
Yeah. Sadly, these are recorded on digital, so I don't know if it means anything.
It would still be there. The sound of vinyl.
It wasn't
cut
on analog, which is the old way.
I'm amazed that stuff from, you know, moody blues stuff from the 70s done analog on tape or whatever sounds as good. You know, they remaster and whatever. But it's weird that it sounds that good today. Mm-hmm. Like, because if you think of where we were at the 70s, you know, like sort of dial-up phones and, you know, no cars, you know, push-button radios and cars and stuff. Like, it was pretty good back then.
Well, I've had to go buy my old stereo. Because I gave it up, and so I had to go find the old vintage gear, and you know those Marantz receivers that everybody's dad had.
Yeah, not my dad. We're a Radio Shack, but I get it.
So anyways, now those are $1,000, and they were probably $150 when they were brand new.
I like the sort of weird throwback stuff with all this. I'll tell you, the coolest reason to look at an old Playboy is to look at the stereo equipment, because Playboy always advertised and reviewed the best, the cool. That's if you're the high end stuff. Sure. That's where you advertise it, and it's always in there, and it's always the coolest cat in the world in his bachelor pad, silhouette of a chick wearing one of his dress shirts in the back. He's like smoking a pipe, and it's got a highball.
He's really enjoying his audio equipment.
Yeah. shag covered but step down living room, you know, where you step
the
down.
The sunken, yes.
The
yes.
sunken in the middle. The greatest sunken is sunken in the middle.
Yes.
Yeah. You're just sitting in there in a little mini amphitheater hot tub covered sure. with shag carpet, yeah. and you got your cool Marantz stereo yeah. on your lady yeah. friend.
Maybe a fondue pot.
Fondue. Oh. You're making yeah. fondue with That's your lady night. Friend. Yeah. I miss those. Yeah. Gary, find me...
A fondue pot.
A fondue... No, I want to know... I want to see some circa 1977, 78 cool stereo equipment. Playboy, they would do that, and they would advertise cool sports cars, like oh. MG convertibles and Triumph TR8s and stuff, like weird stuff that your dad... A single dude, cool... OJ would be advertising dingo boots, as we spoke about before. Yeah. And I'd always just pile through those Playboys when I was in junior high and high school and go, well, there's a chick I couldn't screw, and there's a stereo I could never own, and there's a car I could never drive. This is awesome.
And you look know, at you now.
And look at me now.
Driving the car.
Driving the car.
All right. So band is and you can get the discs and now, like we said. Yeah, Gary, that's exactly what I was exactly what I meant when I was talking about yeah, painter. Yeah, shop around a little. That looked like a guy that was in an audio closet. Missing
a cool bachelor lifestyle.
The bachelor and the pad and the woman and the velvet.
Like Quagmire.
I know. There are ads that don't have the subject matter I was talking about, but there are ads that do, and I'm just saying, take your time, Gary.
He's listening to Bill Burr's podcast.
I get you. All right. Color would be nice. We got it.
Do you remember seeing an ad in the old Playboys when Sony came out with their new hi-fi system? I think it was in the 70s, but it said, like, Sony's new hi-fi, it's like having Keith Moon at your party, only safer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Back when you could use someone's likeness
yeah.
to besmirch them.
Yeah.
Keith Moon, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm sure after he was dead, right? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, good taste.
Okay, oh, here no, it
thank
is.
Thank you, Gary.
Wow,
there's
yeah, you have now redeemed yourself.
So it's a chick wearing a... like the world's biggest culotte or something.
Like a sexy
I don't know.
She's half-tan.
Sexy.
Are those calf speakers?
Man. Yeah, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it looks like they're in a mirror, right?
Yeah, little gloves. Yeah,
that's Adam, a mirror. Do your best to describe architecturally what those speakers are.
All right, they're orbs that are about the size of a. Well, it's kind of hard. Are they half orb or are they full orb? They go out the back?
I think.
Oh, they go out the front. Gary, we don't. You know. Oh, there
I
it is.
I see
Sorry.
A little peeking out the back.
Peeking
the
well,
back one.
Hold on a second. On the second, Gary, just. One screen at a time, otherwise we'll get pulled away. It is, we were obsessed
Those are medicine balls,
with these sort of, yeah, globe size, you know, globe when you have like the globe on your desk or medicine ball size speakers that had like a screen, like a spaghetti colander, kind of a screen on the outside. We were obsessed back in this day with perches. We like pedestals and perches, yeah. like the way stuff
elevated,
sat
yep.
on
yep.
on stuff. And white was always super modern and super cool. The stereo receiver looks like it has the turntable, the receiver, possibly an 8-track in there somewhere.
That is a fine
I don't
setup.
Know.
Down front. Front middle.
Mega, that's what I think I'm looking at. Yeah, mega white shag. Super white shag.
High pile.
More orbs in the bedroom with the burnt orange and the door open for loving. Easy access.
If the production designer had come to Paul Thomas Anderson with this on the first day of Boogie Nights, he'd have been like, tone it down a little bit.
Right.
Tone
a little
it down.
On the nose.
What is that called, Gina? Is that electro...
Oh, electrophonic.
Oh, that's an... I can't read that.
It's weird. There's a shadow there.
Electrophonic, everybody. Yeah.
Look at that dude with the shirt open, the collar popped.
He's getting, some... Best, can I tell you? You want to talk about it? Pre-AIDS, mid-Coke.
Oh, man.
Best time ever to get laid. No AIDS, tons of Coke. Was there a sweeter spot for getting laid? Mm. All right. Gary, you can wait till you find something that works. But he had found the Keith Moon one, too.
That was a badass setup.
Yeah.
That guy had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like having Keith Moon in your room. Oh, in the room. Only safer. There it is. So Dawson remembers. So it shall be. All right. Any of those. But I just remember looking at that. And yeah, and then they'd have the, each year they'd have the like innovations of the year or whatever. And it's like, my God, you can own your own submarine. Except for it was never, if the personal sub was a convertible. So it's always like, you can have a submarine if you want to wear the whole, you know, the gear and the aqualung and the tank and everything. Then I, even when I was 13, I was like, isn't that just like
scuba diving?
That's like scuba diving. All right. It's like a little, that's not him. Yeah. Okay. All right. Gin Blossoms, by the way. Website, ginblossoms.net. You go there. Where are they? Are you guys touring? We out playing?
I'm home this weekend and I'm out next weekend. I'm going to go to Texas. Playing too many shows.
How much is of your life is touring and playing?
Well, it's probably 85 shows a year.
Okay.
So it's not what it used to be. Everybody has kids and stuff, so we got to be home a little bit more.
Are you hooking up with other bands and going out with guys you went out with before and stuff like that?
Well, we were just with Spin Doctors last weekend.
There you go.
Yes.
Should have grabbed that platinum from Weatherly.
So, yeah, we do play with, you know, like-minded bands of the same era.
You know, it's kind of nice because I don't see it ever really, you know, when it comes to comedy, it kind of dries up. Like, if you go away for a while, you don't, you know, sell out Madison Square Garden or whatever. It just kind of slough off. You get down to strip clubs and stuff like that. But the way I see it, I see plenty of big 80s bands playing like the Forum or the whatever. Not the Forum anymore, but like
Sports Arena.
Wiltern. Well, not even bigger. Even like Nokia, whatever. Like, because your fans, you have new fans, you have old fans, and they just keep wanting to see the bands that they loved. I mean, and they're always going to be there.
It's great because we can play the Greek Theater every summer, it would seem, if we have enough 90s bands.
Yeah.
So we get three or four of these bands and we can go play the Greek.
Of those bands, who are you always upset when you see is on the same bill?
Who does it rhyme with?
Spin Doctors.
If it's Third Eye Blind, clear your throat. Clear your throat.
No, all those guys, we play with all, I'm sure some, I think it depends. What happens is your agents get together and you end up doing a big run with the same guys.
I got it.
For Smash like now. A year and a half. Okay. Yeah, Smash. And then by the end of it, they're like, oh, not you guys again. Really? I heard that story last week.
You guys haven't lived till you've played an Indian casino, and then you go out front of the Indian casino out in the lobby to sign autographs. And as you're signing, you're looking back at your name. They're removing your name. And they're putting Third Eye Blind up there. And then they're putting this comedian or that comedian or whatever. Mm. And you're looking up going, Jesus Christ, what happened to their career? And you're thinking, wait a minute.
You're packing your bags.
I'm here too.
Like,
your mic.
This guy used to be good. What happened?
Yeah.
And then I've also had the thought where I said, geez, that's embarrassing. Look at him. You ever have that thought?
No, yeah, absolutely. Well, they're checking in when you're checking out of that Indian casino hotel.
Right. And you're thinking, what happened to you?
What's going on? Box 20, what's happening, guys?
You know what you should consider, because it's like the thing now. I think it's been the thing for a while, like the 80s cruise, you know, the funk cruise. You should do a 90s alt cruise. Like a rock, like a 90s rock boat tour.
Let's do
great.
It.
Do it.
Done.
Let's do it.
We did it.
It was fun.
It's good.
Was it? It was really fun.
It was fun. I think it's, you have to be wired like us, which is, you know, not, you know, you can't be agoraphobic and do it. You have to like to have a couple of cocktails and go mix with the people. And if you don't mind another guy with a couple of cocktails putting his arm around you with a lit cigarette, then you're fine.
That's my life you're describing.
Yeah. Well, look, if that's cool with you, then you'll love the cruise.
Do it on a boat.
It works. And I'm thankful for it. I mean, we all go out and shake hands and sign pictures and stuff, whatever it is after the show.
I love it. All right, Gina, get the news ready. We'll do a quick little bitty news. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Oh, man, you need LifeLock. A lot of you using the same password for multiple accounts. It's a bad habit. Increased chances of the hacks, man, getting in there and stealing your identity. That's right. You should get a password manager and get LifeLock. Identity theft, America's fastest growing crime. I have LifeLock. Kids have it. Wife has it. Everybody's got LifeLock around here. Why? Well, 2017, cost of doing business, man. You go online, you're buying stuff online, you want to protect yourself. No one can prevent all identity theft or protect all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available. And again, it's just $9.99 a month. Membership started just $9.99 a month. Let's get started. Let's protect ourselves. Let's be smart in 2017, people. Let's get ourselves some LifeLock. LifeLock. Dawson.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK. 1-800-LIFELOCK.
All right, let's do two news stories.
All right.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, since we're doing a few stories in a bridge version, we're going to skip ISIS claiming responsibility for the attack in London. It was horrible, and I'm sure more news will come out about it. And it was devastating to a lot of people.
Well, just assume everything is ISIS or ISIS adjacent or something until otherwise told. Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, you'll like this. Actually, the NFL is holding competition committee meetings in Phoenix, Arizona this week.
Mm-hmm.
And among the items on the agenda is the way players celebrate on the field. Over-the-top player celebrations were a major bone of contention in the 2016 NFL season. So it appears the league is going to try to address the issue with a training video for players with the goal of giving players, quote, clear examples of appropriate and inappropriate celebrating.
Oh, this always works.
How amazing is this training video going to be?
Well,
do this, don't do this.
They got to get a guy. They got to land right on some sweet spot. Like they can't use just blonde-haired, blue-eyed dude.
Right.
They got to get a brother,
right.
But he's got to be a little bit light-skinned. He can't go.
Okay, so no Chad Ochocinco.
No,
like Cam Newton.
Yeah, I got a little more Cam in him, you know.
Ward. Heinz Ward's perfect because he don't know what he is.
Yeah, I don't know what he is. Yeah, and can we treat it?
Fitzgerald's good too.
Here's what I would say, because I think it's impossible to say you can't, you know, you can't do the throat cut, but you can do the ball spin, but you can point. You can take a knee if you're praying, but you can't take a knee if you're tired.
Right. You can't call your mom with the phone in the end zone.
Yeah. Can we just say, like they did with pornography many years ago, we'll know it when
we see it.
Like, here's my whole thing. If you are celebrating, then that is fine. If you are taunting the other team, then I'm going to pull the hanky on you. Mm-hmm. How about just simply that? If I interpret what you're doing as negative, if I interpret what you're doing as celebrating, minus any bizarre pornography. You can't dry hump the goalpost or anything. But I mean, if you're just celebrating, celebrate your ass off in any fashion you want. If you're doing the move where you're pulling the pants down, or at least miming pulling the pants down and rubbing your ass against the goalpost pad with the other team's insignia on it, then I'm going
to
pull it
out. Lift your leg to take a leak.
Anything. And again, we can't just go ahead and legislate all of this stuff. Like, we can't go, know this, know that. Because, like I said, taking a knee is fine if you're praying. Taking a knee if you're not praying, how do we know if you're praying? There's a lot of stuff that's weight. And besides, you don't want guys making that call based on a laundry list of things you can and can't do. Because
that's
also people are going to go, I wasn't doing this.
Yeah.
I think you just go, I treat it sort of like a school dance. Which is, hey, if you guys are holding hands and you're being respectful and seems things to be fine, go ahead.
Mm.
But if you got your dork out and you're rubbing it on the side of her leg, well, okay, now we got an issue. But I'll know it when I see it. Wouldn't you feel like that would kind
of
work?
That makes a lot of sense. That's the rule, as long as you're not putting it in the other guy's face.
As long as you're celebrating and having a good time, I don't care. I don't care how you celebrate.
Yeah.
And if you want to jump up in the stands, or you want to do a dance, or you want to do anything, but when it starts spilling into taunting the other team or the fans or being negative, fine.
Well,
that sounds reasonable. It'll never happen.
Yeah,
no.
Doesn't Cam Newton have a reputation for putting it like really, you know, making those gestures toward the other team. Isn't
he
that why people hated him? Oh, well, that was okay then, right? I mean, didn't other
did
teams
the,
hate him for that?
He did the dab move, which no one knew. Yeah. I don't know what a dab was before that, but we knew what a dab was after. And then he did the Superman move. The only problem with having your move is it will be adopted by the blitzing outside linebacker who blindsides you when you give up the ball in the playoffs. He will do your move over you while you're lying down with the compound fracture. He
That's
will
shocking.
Then do your move above you, which is always fine with me. Like, my thing is, if you got to move, you got to move, but then he gets to use your move. He can co-opt your move after he drills you from the blindside.
What's worse, your move getting co-opted by the defensive lineman who just plasters you, or getting co-opted by the 65-year-old HR woman at the company party?
Floor.
Now all the moms are doing the dabbing and everything, and you know, it's jump the shark.
Yeah. All right.
Probably getting plastered by the defensive end.
Well, Woody Harrelson, one of Hollywood's biggest pot smokers, says his joint smoking days are over. The actor who has supported marijuana legalization told Vulture he, quote, stopped smoking pot almost a year ago. He explains it was a solid 30 years of partying too hard. He says, I don't have a drug problem at all. I don't have a problem with smoking. I think it's great. I think it's a great drug. But the effect of it is euphoria. But when you're doing it all the time, I feel like it was keeping me from being emotionally available.
Wow.
So he's off the weed.
Well, I got to tell you, then the Hashers have lost their mascot. Like one of the greatest. No, Martin Luther King. Forget about mascot. This guy's a leader, the savior, the messiah.
Yeah.
The thing about pot is it affects you. And if you're affected, you're affected. Like, I don't have a problem with being affected. But the deal is, once and for all, you're either where you're at or you're altered. And you can be altered by sleep deprivation. You can be altered by pot. You can be altered by prescription drugs. Some people, lightweights, caffeine, medication, booze, keep going. So you can be altered.
Yeah.
So the more time you spend your life altered, the less time you spend sort of as you living in your homeostasis and your reality. And I don't really wish that upon anybody, although I love being altered. But I like being altered, so I save it for, you know, night times when I'm in the safety and security of my own home, being altered with my carpet, my stereo, my lady friend.
Your elevated stereo.
My elevated stereo.
Your
sunken
living room.
Yeah. Stereo up, living room down. That's my move. And so people treat, and obviously, if I got up every morning and poured myself a stiff rye drink, people go, whoa. But there's plenty of people who wake and bake, and people don't really judge those people. Well, I'm telling you, you're then going through your day altered.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would rather, if you said to me, would you rather your kid go through your day drunk or high, I would say high. But then if you gave me a third box, which was neither, I'd say neither, because you're going through your day altered.
Yeah. You're not present.
It's just whatever it is you have brought yourself, your body is constantly trying to get back to that sort of middle balance, sitting in the middle of that sort of seesaw of life. You know, you don't want to be emotionally down here. You don't want to be, emotionally up here. You don't want to physically be down or up. You know, you just want to be that. Your body's kind of striving to kind of normalize, always feeling like it's just born to normalize. You're just born to get back to that thing. And when you get high every morning or anything every morning, I think you're, I mean, this is how I used to, when I used to talk to Dr. Drew, he'd tell me, I have people do like 100 Vicodin a day. And you go, how do you do 100 Vicodin a day? All these people, some of them were like, they were like dental assistants and legal assistants and attorneys and stuff. Like, how do you do 100 Vicodin? You start with one. You feel pretty high, and then a week later, one just gets you back to your middle of the seesaw. Mm-hmm. So you pop two and three and four, and eventually you're at 100, and you're going to work in the morning. So, yeah, your body fights it, but also you are altered, and pot makes it really easy to be altered for prolonged periods of time, because the people I know, like I know people who smoke pot and they drink. But they would never wake and drink, and they would never go out and get drunk at, you know, one in the afternoon on a work day. But they'll go out and rip a bong load, smoke some weed, and then go back into work or whatever. So it's a different relationship, and then they'll go have some beers at night. But I would say good for Woody, and I would tell everybody, like, as cool as I am with pot, don't pretend like you're not altered. You're doing it to alter you. Right. And then you have to think, look, whether it's coffee or whether it's like a food addiction or whether it's the booze or whether it's the pot or whether it's pornography or whether it's whatever, it's like, how much alteration do you, how much connection, you know, could you go camping for 3 days and not bring your fill in the blank? And if the answer is kind of, how much stuff would you have to pack? Like, how many cigarettes, yeah, how many bottles of booze, how many pills, how many doobies, how much pornography, you know, how many stereos and sunken living rooms. But I'm saying, it's like,
yeah, if your vices, your pacifiers.
If you could go away, like the freest, I'm going to add this. Get ready to dig. No. Said this a million times. You listening, Jess?
I'm listening.
The best place you can be in life, your homeostasis, your middle of the seesaw, is when your phone rings. If you dive on it, it's a bad place. You're desperate. You're lonely. Who could it be? Is it my ex-wife? Is she coming back to me? What's with my, is my daughter? Hasn't talked to me in 3 years. Is it her?
Human companionship.
Yeah, something. Someone's reaching out. Yeah. So that, if you just stare at it ringing on the desk going, who could that be? Someone I owe money to? Is that the IRS? Is that the ex went in her alimony? Who is that? I don't trust it. I'm not picking that up. I can't chance it. Is that that partner I screwed over, that bandmate's wife I banged? Who is it? All right. Jump on it too fast? Bad. Yeah. Let it sit. Stare at it. Best place, the homeostasis, is the phone rings and you go, huh, I'll pick it up because it's ringing. I would now extend that to a 3-day trip to a cabin. If I just said, hey, tomorrow we're going up to Mount Pinos. My uncle's got a cabin. We'll be gone. We got a presidential holiday. We'll be back on Tuesday morning. If you thought to yourself, wait a minute, where are my smokes?
I got to pack. I got a little fry. I got to grab some things.
Does it got a bar up there? Or I got to bring my weed. Or I need my brownies with me.
Where's the nearest liquor store?
Or I need my porno. Or I need my whatever. What? I need my pills. I need my sleeping pills.
Yeah.
Or
porno pills.
My porno pills. Where are my porno pills? If you... Look, everyone's going to have an instinct of like, oh, I want my fill in the blank. Right. Yeah, maybe it's your music. But what I'm saying is the less that you can pack, the less, if you had the mindset of, yeah, come pick me up tomorrow morning, I'll be there, and you didn't give any thought to anything you needed, then that's a good place in life to be. I don't think any of us are there.
Nope.
All right. The more you know. Let's bring it home, baby girl.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Geico, man. That's one thing you'd want to pack with you when you went up to the cabin there. It would be your Geico auto insurance. You can save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and you don't have to go up to the cabin. No, man. Do it from home. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. You get a little wham. Someone tweeted me and says, you know, Ace, when you explain wham as walking around money, it's no longer really an acronym because you're just explaining it every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he shamed me. So forget it. I'm not going to explain it anymore.
You can get your money from the ATM, the automatic teller machine.
Yeah, see? That's what it's like. Yeah.
You ruined the whole
Forget
advantage.
Explaining wham. You'll just have more wham. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance, everybody. All right. Let's see. New miserable experience. 25th anniversary vinyl. Looks amazing. You can get it. It's going to drop today on Amazon. So it's available on Amazon. And what you should do. And by the way, bookmark us and click through us and spread the love around and get yourself a cool vinyl album as well. You can check out ginblossoms.net if you want to find out tour dates, merch, and wherever they're going to be. Probably at an Indian casino right after I'm there. Also, if you'd like to come see my Spike show, you can just go to adamcarolla.com or you want to solicit a question, you know, carollaquestions@gmail.com. Maybe we'll put you on the show. Come see us in the audience. We do that on Tuesday night. No Safe Spaces, me and Dennis Prager. That's Cal State Northridge. That's available on Amazon, iTunes, AdamCarolla.com. Number 5 on the Billboard chart, so looking good over there. And all the shirts and the drinks and the everything, just go to AdamCarolla.com and Carolla Drinks, say hi to Lynette, all that good stuff. The cruise coming up, man, going to Cozumel,
Key
West. Looking forward to that.
See you there, Jesse.
Thanks, Jesse. Yeah, man.
Should have invited us.
Well, it's not too late. Maybe we'll work something out. So, until next time, this is Adam for Jesse Valenzuela and Gina Grand, Mo Brian saying, mahalo. Epic fail.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail with your questions and comments at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click on the link at adamcarolla.com. Gina Grad is on morning radio, 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. Tickets and info on all of what we're doing, visit adamcarolla.com.